Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm sure all of you are just feeling cozy, warm, comfy, wherever you are after a fabulous, fabulous holiday. And what we're going to be talking about is just a nice way to sort of even things out after all of the fury and flurry of Christmas. And we've got a wonderful guest with us today. Her name is Maya. She has put together a book, The Power of Illusion. She's what she calls herself, a student of life. And she walked a personal journey that made her aware that she had to face what she realized were illusions of her own. And so we're going to hear about her story today. Maya, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna. I'm so glad I could join you today.
Well, so am I. Everybody's usually, if it's right after Christmas, they're in a crash mode. It's like, oh, is it really over? You know, there's just, it's so much wonderful activity, but so many people have to go back to work the very next day, and they're very much involved in the hustle and bustle. They had maybe one day they were hustling and bustling before, and then it's quiet, not really, for the holiday, and then it's like back in gear again, just depending on when the holiday falls during the week. And this week it fell on a Thursday. I really liked the way you opened your book, because you wrote this book from the heart. You wrote this book, at least this is how I perceive it, you wrote this book because you felt if you could share your story, if it enabled people to understand they're not alone in their journeys of life, they're not alone in anything that is experienced, that if you can share your story, maybe they can look at the design of their life and reweave a different pattern or script a different pattern than what they have currently. Give us a touch about your life and what it was that started you on this journey to come face to face with some of your own illusions.
For me, it started with tremendous sadness in my life, Donna. I was born in India, southern India. We didn't have a lot of money. And it was a very abusive childhood. And then it ended in a divorce. It was also equally challenging, mentally abusive. So I was 30 years, and I did not know what love was. You know, I just didn't get a break in life. The only break I got in life was my engineering degree. God said, okay, I'm going to take everything away from you, but I will give you your engineering degree. And so I was 30 years, and, you know, when you have so much of hardship and you don't know love or anything of that kind, and parents are not there for you, or you're alone, and you start questioning if God exists. And when I was 30, I decided I was going to find if God existed. And if he did, I was going to ask him why my life was so messed up. And it helped being an engineer, because I was very logical. I was not ready to take someone else's story of God. I just was not ready to do it. Because when you go so deep into the depths of misery, you don't have the luxury of taking somebody's idea of, you know, heaven or God, nothing. You don't have. You come to the point where you want your own experience of what that is. And I started meeting spiritual teachers. And in this journey of maybe, you know, 9 years, I think, I started this work in 1998. And I was earnest, Donna. Every day, all I had to see God. And in this journey, what I was asked to look was deep within. I had to look into my own self. I knew that, if I had garbage within me, if I had garbage within me, then how can I have happiness? So I had to clean up my act. I had to stop blaming others for my creation. In this journey, and I found that I was very arrogant. I was a very arrogant person. And I just figured that I knew more than everybody else, and I had to face my arrogance. Because as long as I had arrogance, I would invite people into my life who were arrogant. Because that's how illusion is. In life, we attract people who have our disowned self, so that we can see that and wake up. Life is a big, is a grand play to help us all wake up. So I was
Maya,
attracting people. Yeah?
Let me just stop you there. I think you have brought a word to the forefront. And that word is arrogance. And
yeah.
I was just chatting about that this morning with someone. And I would like to know what your definition of arrogance is. Tell me what your definition of arrogance is. I think we all have our own picture of it. But this
right.
is a very personal experience for you. For someone to say,
yes.
I was very arrogant. I mean, I was really, I mean, that is a powerful word. That does not denote someone of thoughtfulness and kindness. I mean, that denotes someone of a pompous exterior.
Yes.
What does arrogance mean to you?
Arrogance for me meant that I knew more than anyone else about a situation. I knew how another person should live their life. I had the, I always felt that my answers were better than someone else's. I refused to learn from people unless they were emotionally stable or unless they were enlightened. I refused to learn from them. I looked beneath them. I felt that, oh, in my path, I have come to a certain place, so why do I have to listen to you? I just forgot that God talks through everybody and teaches through everybody. And it could be the lady who cuts my hair. She's still giving me a teaching if I have the eyes and the ears to listen. And my arrogance came from the fact that I had nothing else in life to hold on to, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
I was very empty within me, and if I had faced that emptiness, I would have become totally dysfunctional. So I needed some kind of a protective mechanism to make me feel worthy. I felt like I was nothing, because imagine growing up not having parents, not having anything in your life. You had to make it out on your own. And so I had to have something. There was this deep wound within me, this emptiness. I'm not worthy of anything. And to cover it up, I put on this facade of, oh, I know the right answers. I'm the greatest teacher on earth. You know, I worked for Hewlett-Packard. Oh, I knew all the, my design was far superior to anybody else's design.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew how to take it in a way. So that is the arrogance, thinking that you know more than another all the time. You're not humble to learn from another. You forgot you're a student.
Mm-hmm.
We all immediately put on the hat of being a teacher after a couple of experiences. But the minute you do that, you stagnate. The only reason...
Oh, yes.
You know, and for me, the only reason I'm teaching right now is fully knowing I'm a student and I will make mistakes until the day I leave this earth. Because that is when you really understand that you're a student and that humility comes in. And when that humility comes in, Donna, you learn really fast. The reason, because you don't put blocks in your mind. Your unconscious mind is wide open. You start receiving teachings left, right, and center. You grow very fast.
That is so liberating, isn't it, when you can reach that point? It is so liberating.
Yes. And if you're meant to reach that point through kicking and screaming and being kicked on the backside by God and by the whole of creation, then so be it. For me, I came to this point in my life. It wasn't easy, Donna. Like, I was very stubborn, very mule-headed, and I was quite a piece of work. And for me, I really had to suffer to come to this point, but suffering is optional. It doesn't have to be that way. And that was one of the reasons I wrote the book. It can be easy. You create your reality by the power of your thoughts and emotions. So watch what you're creating.
I love the image of a big boot in the sky coming along and just giving you a whammy in the tush. I just think that is gorgeous. I'd want my boot to have rhinestones, a little bit of silver and gold ribbon. I want it to look good. Okay. I just love it. That is so good. Now, you have, here, you know, someone, so often when we meet, someone like yourself, who has, you know, is going through this process, and we, maybe we recognize it, and we so want that person to enjoy the liberation from that imprisonment of self-delusion. And of course, we always know what's better for the other person, right? We know exactly what they need. That's a little bit of arrogance, folks. Anyway, when we're watching it, but there comes that point when you can do just exactly what you said. You can say, you know, I don't have to fix your life. And I've never known a truly good teacher that has ever, ever tried to dominate anybody else. What they'll do is they'll say, okay, you've got a smorgasbord here. What is it that you want to take from the smorgasbord? What do you want to make your reality, which is just what you said? We don't have to go through suffering and gnashing of teeth. And that brings up a point as far as the illusion goes. There isn't a person on this planet that is not going to go through some kind of an indoctrination from an external source.
Right.
And we are bombarded with 10,001 indoctrinations. If you thought about everything that comes into a person's life, whether it's through a piece of paper, whether it's through media, whether it's through anything, it could be through a friend's mouth, and you took it all in and you said, all of this is absolute, I mean, you'd end up in an insane asylum because you wouldn't be able to process it all. There has to be that discernment. And that's part of maturation, knowing what we're going to carry and what we don't need to carry, and to decide whether we want to carry anything with us at all. What was one of the biggest lessons that you had to make it okay for you to release and let go?
The one gift, I believe the Creator gave me this one gift, was truth. I had this devotion to truth, because you come to a point where you can't afford anything other than that. So if you live every moment, every thought that comes to head, every action you take, and if you ask yourself this question, is this true? Am I in truth? Or am I in denial, or am I protecting my ego here? You just have to ask this one question, am I in truth? The minute you ask that question, Donna, there's a literal opening where blocks are removed. There's a literal opening in your mind when you do that. But for me, it started with that. Is my arrogance in truth? What am I protecting? Am I jealous? Why am I jealous? Do I not believe I can have what others have? Am I competitive? Why am I competitive? Do I believe that if I'm number one, I'm somehow better than another? Do I see people as equal? Do I think I'm better than another or less than another? As long as I feel that, I'm not seeing people as equal. Do I have that in me? You know, questioning myself again and again every moment. And why do people not do that? Why do people, it is simple. One, fear of loss. You know the minute you start living in truth, you're going to lose what you hold as precious. People might fall away from you. You might lose whatever you thought was security. You might lose your job. Second reason is fear of rejection. You don't want to say your truth to have it thrown back at your face. So the truth is not something you should say or act because you want an applause. You do it because you walk alone with God, ultimately. Because you are here, you feel that you want, you come to a place in your life where you honor truth more than a pretty illusion. And so it was, for me, it was living in truth every moment. I had to, when I was working for Google, and there was a vice president who was abusing his power. I was just a contractor. I had no power to say anything. But at that point, when this was happening, the truth was moving through me, and something told me to stand up to him and also raise the issue to the directors of the company and let them know this is happening and let them know that the people were overworked and that the company was giving more importance to projects than people. If another, I would not have been in a place to do that, say, a year back, but at that point I had worked on my truth to such a degree. I was able to go do it. Of course I went through my fear. Fear of getting fired, fear of rejection, fear of being alone in that. Yes, I went through that. But ultimately the way I did it was, I have a technique in my book, my teacher taught me this. You can release fears from your unconscious mind by writing to it. It is simple. The minute you write to it, the fear is gone. As long as, that's all there is to it. So then I wrote to my unconscious mind, what is your fear in standing up for the truth here? Of course, my unconscious mind had all kinds of fears. You're going to be fired. You're taking other people's battles on. What's wrong with you? You know, you're a single mom. You need to be taking care of your, you know, mortgage rent. And I educated my unconscious mind. We are not here to live a life of repressed lie. We've done that for 35 years. It's time. We started honoring something that is growing within us, because what we want to hear is enlightenment. And that means we have to walk in truth and take the toughest decision. And because, and I also told my unconscious mind, we are not going to judge them. We are just going to share our truth and bring light to an area where light is needed. And we will do it in a loving way. So when I went to the director and I told the director, you know what, I have abused my power too. It doesn't work. So this is not okay. And the people are suffering here. And here are the case studies why they're suffering. And I mean no harm. I'm just speaking my truth and I want to be heard. The way I presented it, because I was not judging them, I had a chance to be heard, so change can happen. So that is truth. You walk alone. So to come to this point in my life, I really had to live in truth. I had to ask myself every time I was denying, I was in denial, I was kidding myself. I had to really question every single action. And there were many times I thought I was in truth, but I was not. And that is the maturation process here. And then you start looking, you look in your partner's eye. You let them know lovingly when, you know, when they are not in truth, when you're not being seen as equal. Then you look at your child and you let them know, you know what, mommy here, she just took my anger out on you, and I'm sorry I did that, having a bad day. And you don't deserve anybody to take their anger on you, and I want you to know that. So you're giving freedom to your child. You know, so that is a process. You really ask yourself what is true, and when that happens, all the garbage comes out. As long as you live in truth, you've given permission for you to see everything that is stopping you from having the life you desire. Because in illusion, it's simple. You create with your thoughts and emotions. So if you think that you're a failure and you have fear there and you put enough energy into it, you will create situations where things fail. It's simple.
When you're discussing this, Maya, and you're talking about it, it really is a wisdom of time, that if we're able to adopt it, it just gives us such a liberation, because we don't have to hang on to things. We don't have to worry about, gee, is this all going to pan out? Is it not going to pan out? What we can do is develop that faith and confidence that within ourselves there is this greater wisdom that we have already been given, but we're in the process of maturing into it. And in that process, facing your truth, writing the truth, as you said. And I really liked the idea of writing to the subconscious, because we have those levels within ourselves that can so easily sabotage us, that can so easily take away our freedom. And it's fascinating how when you meet an individual, that when you're in their company, you feel like they have such freedom. It can arouse in one anger. It can arouse the arrogance we were talking about earlier. It can arouse frustration, because we are recognizing that they have something and we say, this is mine. This should belong to me. Why do they have it? I should have it. All of these little games go on. And I like one of your sections in your book, and I'm going to quote from it directly. It said, you say here, when did it become okay to settle for less? Don't you know you are God and can manifest all that you want? Don't you know it is given to you when you ask without any fear? That's the key, asking without any fear or lack in you. The reason you do not get what you ask for is because you do not think you will get it, and you do not think you deserve it. First, write to yourself why you feel you should not get it and what is preventing you from achieving your goals. It might shatter you to realize that it was all caused by you. It was not your boss, your wife, your boyfriend, your children. Everyone is a figment of your imagination. You have created them because that is what you wanted. Those are very, very powerful words.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Truly. You know, all the time I thought I was not lovable, Donna. And I would, and I really believed in it. Of course, I had life experiences as a child to prove it, but still, I believed in it so much that I really didn't get a chance for someone to love me. And finally, I manifested a heart condition called mitral valve prolapse. And usually physical symptoms are just, you know, an extension of unresolved emotional issues. So the minute I had this heart condition, my teacher told me, you know, write about why you're not lovable. I wrote for 2 hours one day. Next day it was
gone. 2 hours? Oh, my
goodness. 2 hours. Because, you know, when you get a physical symptom, you're not fooling around at that point. And I just wrote, why am I not lovable? I called all my, everybody who had interacted with me, tell me why I'm not lovable. And, you know, I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I re-educated my unconscious mind. And I let it know, you know what? It's not someone else's job to take care of us. It's our job to take care of us, because each one has their emotional problems and they have their own maturation, and we need to allow them to evolve in their own time. Okay, they were not there for us. That is our own karma. But we here, I'm here to take care of you. You know, and I'll hold on to the beloved creator who is part of me, and I'll take care of you. And I educated my unconscious mind, and the next day the symptoms went away. With that, my health issue went away. It's powerful.
Phenomenal.
It's powerful.
Oh, yes. And you have here also the statement, you're not expected to see a shadow and immediately not have it anymore in your system. A shadow took a while to get into your system. Respect its depth and its emotions. Erase the shadow a little at a time, knowing every small step counts. And boy, I'll tell you, I have been there. And I don't know that one ever stops being there, because it is an evolution on so many different levels within the self. And as you become aware of it, then it's interesting how often challenges pop up and you go, how come you're popping up now? And it's sort of like getting a test at the end of the school year saying, okay, you're going to pass the exam, toots, or you're going to fail. What are you going to do? We're going to go through the course again? So it is a fascinating phenomena, and I think that your perspectives are just very, very direct. I like the way you share yourself within your book in The Power of Illusion, and I also liked your statement in here that you say you need to sit and ask yourself if you truly want to change. Now, that is not as easy to do as one would think, because you have to sit still to do that. Usually the brain and the mouth are going 10,000 miles an hour.
You know, and that's true.
So,
and, you know,
all
for me, carry on, Donna.
No, it's okay. You go ahead. You go ahead and say, mention.
So do I really want to change? For some people, Donna, they carry less baggage. And maybe, you know, they're at the point in their spiritual evolution, their soul evolution, where it is easy for them. Just sit in the presence of a teacher and stuff could just fall off easily. And there are other people like myself who are extremely stubborn, who really had to go into the deep end to come out and embrace change. So it was like I had to go to the point where I really inflicted physically and mentally great turmoil upon me to find that, oh, you know, the old is not working anymore. I might as well try something new. I have nowhere else to go. So it depends on how each one's path is. And if they are meant to go into the deep end, and they will, and if that's the way it is for them, and so be it, because maybe that's what they find fulfilling. And there is my son, especially, when I look at him, he's so aware. I just have to tell him something once and he gets it immediately. It's like the truth meter in him is so bright, he immediately gets it. For me, it took a while. That was the way it was for me.
Mm-hmm.
So all in their own time.
That's right. And I think that is something that's hard for us so many times, especially if you're doers. And like you're logical, you're an engineer. You know where A goes to B and B goes to C and C goes to D. And if anybody mucks up the line, you're just going to be right there saying, wait a minute, I want to know why this is mucked up. And that's not all bad, because we need that kind of thinking. We also need the part of ourselves that sort of just goes with the flow, that doesn't try to hold on to things. We need the part of the self that's childish, that giggles at a bubble going up in the air. I mean, that we need all kinds of parts of ourselves. And I think that is something that should be a joy about maturation. And I feel that you have acquired that in your own way, in that there's times to giggle, there's times to burp, there's times to scream, there's times to cry. And all of it will have value. And your word of saying something is a gift, when you started talking and you were talking about the gifts of experiences, they really are. My husband and I were talking about that this morning. We were reflecting upon certain times in our lives and how we went through each of us respectively went into our own experiences, and some of them were pretty ugly. And when we reflect on them, we realize that each one carried a gift, and that it created change in us in a way and manner that allowed us to, as individuals, be what we are today or be where we are today. And that's an ongoing thing. Maya, I know we've got just a little bit of time, but I want to bring up the point that in your book, you have some exercises, writing, reprogramming the unconscious mind. And so often we don't realize how the unconscious mind is like a puppet, and that it's there and it will dance to the tune we play. But lots of times we don't realize that we might have 14 different tunes playing.
Right.
And we may need to eliminate a couple of those tunes. And
it's
getting through that is going to be sometimes an interesting challenge. But these writing exercises are really quite good. Now, do you have a website, Maya, that people can go to find out more about your book?
Yes, powerofillusion.com.
Powerofillusions.com. Well, Maya, we only have a little bit more time left here. What message would you like to leave with my audience? It's the day after Christmas. People are just, I think, sort of relieved because there's one holiday down, and then we got the New Year's one to go. So we're going to take a bit of a breather perhaps today. What would you like to give them as a gift of wisdom today?
I would share, you know, love yourself a little bit more than you did yesterday. A little bit more. And be more truthful a little bit more than you did the previous day. And also realize how you create your reality. Start paying attention to your thoughts and emotions and see how that is resulting in your reality. And when you come to this place of really knowing you create your reality, then read my book and change it.
Very good. And the reality, I would just like to add a little bit of something here. That reality may end up giving you an opportunity, like it did for Maya, to share your wisdom with someone else, because you are, in your own way, the creator. Maya, it has been a pleasure having you as a guest today. If you want to find out more about a book and more about the exercises that she has in her wonderful book, The Power of Illusion, go to her website called powerofillusion.com. And you'll be able to find more there. Maya, thank you for sharing your space. Thank you for being with me a day after a very busy holiday for so many people. I appreciate you, your wisdom, and your gift. Thank you again for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Donna. I'm deeply grateful for this opportunity. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't forget to go to Maya's spot, powerofillusions.com. When we come back, more good things to share. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and my goodness, telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to give me a buzz, this is a great time to do it. Here are the toll-free telephone numbers to call in, 877-876-5227, that's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. You can also call that number if you're in the U.S. as well. 888-815-9756. So all I need from you, if you're a first-time listener, is your first name or your initial, and then after that, let me tell you what I perceive. I'm delighted to be able to share my skills. I'm an information resource, and I like doing this on the air and give you the gift of that opportunity. So give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Well, we're getting closer and closer to getting to the new year. All kinds of things are going on. And if you're like me, after eating goodies, and you go, oh, I just don't want to be chubby. I want to be fit and fabulous in 2009. Well, hey, Teresa Tapp is offering 3 gift packages. We've only got a few more days. So if you haven't sent me an email, I want you to send me an email and know that you have an opportunity in the E-Pot drawing, yes, and we are accumulating a whole bunch of names here. We're going to have the drawing next week before New Year's. It will be either Tuesday or Wednesday. We're going to have the drawing, and we'll be making the announcement of the 3 lucky winners. Now, each of these gift packages is worth over $100. You're going to have the skin brushing system. You're going to have the 15-minute workout, which I swear by. And you're just going to have so many wonderful things. Teresa keeps adding to the package. Every time I talk to her, it's like she's got another little goodie to go into it. So just know, you will have an opportunity. So send me an email. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And if for some reason you're having a problem sending that email, call me at my office and call me at 800-872-8852. If your friend wants to enter it, send me the information. Just remember this. You must, in the subject line, put the Donna Sebo Show and then put the code DSS-30. DSS-30. That is so important because I get hundreds of emails, and that way I know when I see that. I can immediately put it into the e-pot, as I call it, the email pot. So we are going to be able to randomly choose three lucky winners. I'll tell you, it's improved me physically by 25 inches overall, and that is awesome. I had friends over yesterday for Christmas. We had a huge, huge dinner, and they were saying, wow, you look so good. You're so little. How do you know, wow, you're just looking so great. Said, yep, it's TTAP. And by golly, there's other good things that I'm going to be sharing with you after the first of the year, too. We've got some wonderful stuff. Like me, and you want to even look better, feel better, but you don't have 2 hours a day to commit to physical fitness like Jacqueline Lane has. Hey, all you do is make a small shift, sit in fabulous 15 minutes. But again, three gifts are available to you. So send me an email, donna@delphiinternational.com. Put in the subject line, the Donna Sebo Show, DSS-30, and put your contact information in the body of the email. Because obviously, if you are a winner, I need to be able to reach you. And I can do it by email, but we will have to have the contact information so that she will be able to mail you the gift. So that's coming up. Don't forget. Yep, anytime between now and, I'd say, Tuesday. We're either going to do the drawing on Tuesday or Wednesday, to the best of my knowledge. That's what we're going to do. So if you have some friends, get it in. Get it in now. This holiday season, there's all kinds of wonderful plants that are around. There's a friend of mine who lives not too far from me, and I am always in awe about her beautiful Christmas cactus. This woman has a green thumb of green thumbs. I think there's a king's crown on each one because she just absolutely has this wonderful knack with plants. It's just incredible. And the Christmas cactus that she has comes into bloom, and its colors are just brilliant. In fact, it was in her home that I saw my very first Christmas cactus. Well, I was surprised to find out how absolutely amazing this plant is. Do you know, if you have a good-sized Christmas cactus in your home, it dries, it helps to humidify the air, and it also, because it's a tropical flowering plant, emits healthy moisture through its leaves, so it enables you to breathe better. When you're in the bitter cold, like we are in the Pacific Northwest, and gee, if you're up in Alaska or in the northern areas of the United States, my gracious, we've been really hit hard with Arctic storms, one right after the other. So the heat is on in the house, for which I'm very grateful, but it really dries everything out. You'll notice it with your skin, your hair, there's static electricity. Well, when you have this cactus, this Christmas cactus, it really gives you a lot of moisture in the air. They say, they've done scientific study with this wonderful plant, it emits this moisture through its leaves, and it enables you to ward off cold weather bugs. Who would have thought something so beautiful would be able to do so much? This particular plant, it's very much unlike other plants, gives off the moisture and oxygen mostly at night. So if you have it in your bedroom, it is going to even be better at helping you sleep more comfortably during the winter months. Now, I also found, and this I know for a fact, the fragrance of evergreen is just absolutely marvelous. It will invigorate you if you get a good whiff of it. In fact, during this time of the year, a lot of people like to even spray it just to keep that wonderful fragrance in the air. If you have evergreens around, like a live tree or something like this that you've brought into the house, it automatically has that, but as its energy diminishes, then you don't have it so much. The scent of evergreen automatically stimulates the reticular activating system, which is the part of your brain that governs alertness. And that's why when you're out walking around in forests and this time of the year when it's cold outside, and you smell, there's the deciduous trees and that, or the evergreens, I should say, that just smell wonderful. And you can take a few needles and rub them between the palms of your hands, and they just emit this invigorating fragrance. So now you know why. It has that factor that really does make you come alive. So maybe if you're feeling sort of sluggish, especially after having a whole bunch of good food to eat and spending a lot of time with friends and maybe not being so active, why not just pick yourself up, put your boots on, and get outside and walk around. If the weather is permitting, if it's not 70 below zero, just get yourself up, get out in the fresh air, and you'll feel better. It takes a lot of tension out of you. Eucalyptus does a similar thing. It just seems to enable us, these smells seem to enable us to think more clearly. They've done brain scan research. It shows that the scent of eucalyptus stimulates beta waves at the front of the brain, which enhances absorption of information and enabling you to understand what you're there. And do you know what? One of the plants that so many people love, I've known people that have lined their steps during the holidays with plants of this type. They fill their houses with them. They'll put them on their stairwells, poinsettias. They are just gorgeous. They will do more to eliminate airborne toxins than almost any other plant. Now, in the research to find out why, it is because of the size of their leaves. They're extra large, and any harmful chemicals that might be in your environment, they take them right out of the air. The toxins are pulled down into the roots where the poinsettia absorbs them and breaks them down. You see, when you have living plants in your environment, they really do make a difference in how you feel. They contribute to your well-being. Why do you think we want to go out and be with nature? If you ever lived in a city environment where it has been almost denuded of life, trees cut down, I know areas of California I used to live in, they were gone. You couldn't find them anywhere. I mean, they had just chopped them down. Concrete jungles had come up. And finally, people are realizing how valuable trees are. They are so significant, how plants are so important. But they will help us achieve what we want, health and well-being, if we'll just let them do their jobs. But they have to be left alone to do their jobs. My goodness, we are a stubborn group, aren't we? I think having Maya on today is just really something. I got such a kick out of her when she said she was so stubborn. She said she just had to do things her way. Oh, my goodness, we human beings are really interesting characters, aren't we? She's a sweetheart, though. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're going to be taking a break in a while, but what I wanted to do was say, get out your pad of paper and pen. And I know you just had an absolutely delightfully wonderful holiday, but the season isn't over. But what if you wanted to have something that was going to sort of let your system rest and relax and rejuvenate? I know those New Year's Eve parties are coming up. Well, I'm going to have a recipe for you. Don't worry, you're not going to have to drag out every pot. All you're going to need is a crock pot. Uh-huh. That is all you're going to need. And we will chat with you in just a little bit and tell you about that. And I'm also going to tell you a story about a city of ice. Yes, this is a fascinating story. It's about Alaska and areas of the Yukon, and this is stuff that I think you'll find interesting. Now, I want to let you know, too, tomorrow we've got a great, not tomorrow, tomorrow's Saturday, that I'm not going to be here until Monday, but we have got a lot going on. And next week, of course, there's going to be the celebration of New Year's, but we're going to have some guests. We're going to be talking about a shopper's guide to healthy living. We're going to be going into brainwave vibrations. And then we are going to be having a single drop. This is a story about a woman that I met who has traveled all over the world, changing people's lives, making their worlds much better. She's got a phenomenal story to share, and her name is Gemma, and she's going to be with us. We have a great lineup of guests that are going to be coming right after the new year. But before that, we're going to have some, too, and we're even going to have an open mic day. So we're going to have all of that available to you. And just know, if you want to call me today, give me a buzz at 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. When we come back, we'll be talking about the Ice Palace, and also, I'll have a recipe for you, light on the stomach, easy on the waistline, but oh, so good. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians and also U.S. 888-815-9756. Okay, I told you that I was going to have a wonderful recipe. This is so good, and it is really healthy, but it doesn't stuff you up. I don't know about you, but you're feeling sort of like a waddle, waddle, waddle after all the goodies that you had, and maybe you still got them out. Well, this is something that you can have this. It's going to make your taste buds really taste good. You can do it one of two ways. You can do it in a crock pot where you put everything in the pot, just turn it on and let it just cook away, and then your kitchen will smell wonderful. Or you can make it in a regular pot on the stove. And this is what you do. You're going to need 5 small onions or 3 large onions. And my feeling is use as many as you want. If you're an onion person, which I am, I just love onions. I use them in just about every recipe. But these, I would say yellow onions. You choose the onions you like, whatever's your preference. And then you want 3 14.5-ounce cans, fat-free, if you desire, of reduced-sodium beef broth. If you don't like beef broth, use chicken. Who cares? This is the way you want. If you're a vegetarian, use a vegetarian broth. This is really simple, but it really helps your system get into back into balance. You may want to add a little salt, about 1/4 teaspoon, and maybe a little bit of pepper. And then you might want to have on the side some toasted bread or some croutons. It's up to you whether or not you want that. And then what you want is about 1/2 cup of shredded Swiss cheese. Now, sometimes people like to use other. This is an onion soup. I'm sure you already figured that out. So what you can do with this medium-sized soup pot, you just put it on the stove, and you might want to use a little bit of oil, or you can just use Pam. For me, I just like the crock pot. Just stick the whole thing in the crock pot. You don't have to use any oil if you don't want to, and that's your onions, your broth, a little bit of salt. You can have that black pepper in there. Just let it cook away. Now, if you're going to do it on the top of the stove, you want to be able to have a little bit of oil. So you can use olive oil if you like. Maybe a little butter. It's your choice. Just whatever your preference. Put your onion and cook for 15 or 20 minutes until your onion is deeply caramelized. Now, if you put it in the crock pot, it's not going to be caramelized. I don't care. If you put it on the stove, you are going to be able to caramelize it. So it's up to you. It depends on what your preference is. I'm pretty lazy when it comes to making this stuff. So all you have to do is just lightly brown it. Remember, you just want it so that it's nicely caramelized. You just stir it every once in a while. Then you add your broth, salt and pepper. Let it simmer for a little bit of time. If you put it in the crock pot, put the lid on, put it on, maybe 300 degrees. On the crock pot or whatever your crock pot says, and just let it do the work. Doesn't use much energy. And then you can top the soup if you want with some croutons, some of the shredded cheese, whatever is your preference. And you can always add vegetables to this. This is so light, so easy, and so good. I'll tell you what I like to do. I like to take bread, and it can be your favorite bread. It can be your whole grain bread. Slice it, put a little bit of butter on it, and then sprinkle it with Parmesan cheese and stick it underneath the broiler for a moment until it's just nice and golden brown. Oh, yum. And you have that. Whew, good stuff. So you don't have to have a whole bunch of stuff, but oh, it can feel good. And it gives your tummy a rest after your holiday feasting, and it's not going to add any inches to your waistline, and it's going to taste very, very good. So I wanted to share that with you today. Real easy stuff. I think crock pots are great. I have a recipe that I love to fix during the holidays, but it's good any time. And it's made with kale, and you just take kale and sweet potatoes and your onions. And we like to use meat of our preference. It can be either some smoked pork or it can be bacon. We especially like bacon. And it's just for this little addition of flavor. And it doesn't get fatty at all because the kale absorbs all of these flavors. And then some garlic. And lots of onion, and you just layer that and maybe add a little bit of water, and I just put it in the crock pot and just let it perk away. Man, oh man, people come in and they have that and they go, oh, this is so good. I never knew kale could taste so good. Really simple. The crock pot allows you to cook something slowly and easily so all the flavors mingle. Just can't be beat. Okay, let me give you this story about the city of ice. Now, this is a true story. This is a discovery that was made by George Kershon. Now, they don't know exactly where he saw this, and it is somewhere along the Yukon River. It ranks among the greatest mysteries, one of the greatest mysteries that has never been figured out when it comes to the far north. Now, for those of you that are aware, which I'm sure so many of you are, the far north used to be tropical. And he said when he found this, it was first written up in the San Francisco Examiner, and it was reprinted in The Wonders of Alaska in 1891. And the man that did this article said that he knew Mr. Kershon and said, this is true. Now, this is how the story goes. In the summer of 1888, this is written in George's dialogue, he said, I was one of the party who left here to go north prospecting. At Juneau, we purchased a small sloop to take our outfit up to the Yukon, which we reached after many weeks of toil. I disagreed with my partners and engaged an Indian canoe with two Indians and started to prospect along an unknown fork of the Yukon River. We had a very bad time. The stream narrowed in between high cliffs and shot dizzy swiftness down the gulches, making it necessary to tow the canoe by means of a line from the banks, two doing this while the other rested. Progress was necessarily slow, and many days we toiled before the first range of cliffs and mountains was passed. Once a 100-foot waterfall barred us, and it took us 3 days to get around it. After this, it was a bit easier. The river broadened out, and the country was more level. The banks were well wooded, and game was plentiful. We kept on like this, always going north, when after 6 weeks, a range of mountains was sighted. I believed this to be the head of the river and pressed on to reach it before the cold weather set in. Snow was now falling very often, and it was evident that the short summer was nearly done. At length, we reached the wild country again, and the stream, which had been subdividing itself into lesser ones, soon became too difficult to navigate. This was almost at the foot of the range of the mountains spoken of. Here we determined to camp for the winter, and good quarters were found. Everything was made snug, as the weather up there is something awful, but we were in a deep ravine, overhung by high cliffs, which broke the fury of the winds, and the best was made of it. Game was plentiful, and huge quantities of deer were shot and frozen for use through the long winter months. Before long, the cold came, and at times it was impossible to stir from cover. Especially was the case when the terrible wind blew. At other times, it was fairly comfortable, although the lack of sun made it gloomy enough. Toward the end of winter, it began to get light, and the gales were less frequent. Well, I'm sorry, but I just looked at the clock. We're out of time. I'm going to have to continue this on Monday. The City of Ice. You'll have to tune in on Monday to find out the rest of the story. This is Donna Sebo. Have a fabulous holiday weekend wherever you are. be safe, be good to yourself, be grateful for the blessings that you have. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a great holiday weekend again. And just know, there's no one like you. And I'm so glad we've been able to share this time together. Talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.